Tonight we would like to sing for you two Christmas carols written almost 500 years ago by the great reformer Martin Luther. The first one, simply called Martin Luther's Christmas Carol, was written in 1535 for his little son Hans and is sung to an ancient church melody. The third carol is Away in a Manger, written around the same time and sung to a tune written by James R. Murray. We would also like to thank David Jeff for accompanying us so beautifully on the violin.
Thank you. Boys and girls and young people, thank you very much for coming and sharing with us tonight the Word of God that you memorized, and also as you were singing. It was a real delight and a joy, and we certainly welcome all of the young people with us tonight. And we want to say a special word of welcome to all the visiting parents, some folks who are part of our congregation and others who are visiting tonight just because of their children taking part, and we certainly welcome you. We have a number of folks from the Grace Gospel Tamil Church. We're happy to have you folks here tonight. Is Pastor Mano here? See, I thought he was coming tonight. He might be coming a little bit later. Anyways, we certainly appreciate the good fellowship we have with Pastor Mano and the brothers and sisters in the Grace Gospel Tamil Church. Let me ask you to turn with me now in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel chapter 2 for a congregational reading. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Listen again, please, to the very well-known and yet we never should become familiar with the words that are recorded for us here. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophet, But thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor, and he shall rule thy people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. When you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' And he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.'" May the Lord bless again his precious word to our hearts tonight as we are thinking of this Christmas season. And there was a question that was asked: where is he that is born King of the Jews? And it may be, friend, tonight that you ask that same question in your heart when you're faced with so many issues in the world today, so many problems, so many uncertainties. Maybe you're asking, where is God in all this? Where is the Lord in all this? We hear preaching about Jesus. We hear talking about his kingdom and all the good that he's supposed to do and goodwill towards men. Well, where is it all? Ah, my friend, if you are seeking for answers to those questions in your own heart, then I say to you, come again to the scripture and read and seek the Lord, for you will find the answer to that. For Christ Jesus indeed has come, and he is the answer to the deepest questions of your heart, and you can know him tonight. You can know forgiveness of sin. You can know peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So may the Lord bless his word to your heart, and we are so happy that you're here this night. Let me please remind our own congregation of some important announcements we have this week before we take up the offering and then we come to our Bible story tonight. Following the service tonight, we have a meeting of our elders. We'll be in the counseling room. And then I want to invite everyone to be downstairs for a time of fellowship following this evening time tonight. There's lots of good things provided for the boys and girls, and I want you to pay close attention to the story tonight so you can get downstairs and enjoy the good things. And of course, there will be fellowship for all the adults. Everyone is invited to that, and we hope you'll stay behind. Our congregation will be, some of them anyways, will be heading on Tuesday night down to the Thompson Hall to see the Messiah, and the bus will be leaving here at 6:15. If you have already purchased those tickets to go down there, be sure you're here on time. Wednesday night, our Bible study and prayer time at 7:25. And then please remember, the next Lord's Day being Christmas, we have some special arrangements for our services. We meet at 11 in the morning regularly. There will be no Sunday school next Lord's Day. And then following that, we have a church lunch in the basement. And you're welcome to come along. And if you would like to sign your name on that list at the back and put the number of people besides, we'll have a record how many will be coming. And we'll look forward to some good time of fellowship. And then following on that, there will be a time of praise in the afternoon at 2:30. A short time together of worship and praise. And then we will not be having an evening service next Lord's Day. And then there will be no prayer meeting through Christmas and New Year's on the 28th of December. We and our congregation have been doing for several years a Christmas card fund where we devote special offerings to new works, our missionary works around the world, or others who are serving the Lord. And this year we're doing it for Mexico City. Jason and Danielle Boyle have been serving there now for 5 years. And so if you'd like to contribute something extra toward that, you can mark your envelope with Mexico City, and we'll be sure it goes toward our Christmas card fund. Those are all the announcements we have just now. We're going to sing on one more carol and remain seated while the offering is received. Number 90. Following the singing of this, we will stand at the last verse, and then after we're finished that, Brother Roger Valenciano will be coming up to do the story for the boys and girls and for everyone tonight. So please be in prayer and enjoy that. Remain seated for number 90.
Thank you.
final two verses, please. Be seated. And just while you're doing that, before our brother Roger comes, I want to say a special word of thanks to everyone who is on our outreach team today at the corner of Nielsen and Tapscott, out there singing in the sub-zero weathers, and it was quite chilly, but a lot of gospel tracts were given out, and want to thank each one who is there participating in that, and we trust it will be an ongoing witness in the community. And please pray for the word of God that was given out that time. Brother Roger.
Let's turn our Bibles tonight in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18. And we'll read the first five verses. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, starting on verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me." May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word to our hearts tonight. Let's bow our head in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, O God, as we come to thy word now, we pray for thy blessing to be upon everyone here, especially, O Lord, the little children here. Bless our hearts tonight. Come in power. Revive us, O Lord, and bless us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, the Bible is a book that is very interesting. In this passage, we see that the disciples of Jesus, the ones that were following him everywhere, approached him. And what do the disciples do? They come to Jesus and asked him, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" That may surprise some of you kids. But let me tell you, adults, they like to play games too. And Jesus' disciples, they were playing a very interesting game. When Jesus was not with them, they were talking to each other. And what they were talking about, they were trying to guess two things. First one, the disciples of Jesus, they wanted to know how important they were going to be in God's kingdom. And second, and the most important of all, who was going to be the most important? Adults, they like to feel that they are special. They like when people think they are important. And then we have these 12 men that were chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ to be his disciples. They certainly thought that they were very special. But then they came to Jesus and asked him, "Jesus, who's the most important in your kingdom?" And then what Jesus did. Well, I'll do something unusual here. I need a volunteer, a little child to come here. Just one. Just one. Can come. What's your name?
I'm Simon.
Simon. Okay. What the Lord Jesus did in this passage, when the disciples came and asked Jesus, who is the most important in his kingdom? What was Jesus' response? Jesus, he answered them, "You need to change. You need to be as this little child if you want to enter into my kingdom. And also, you need to be humble as a little child if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven." Okay, Simon, you can go. Good job. The disciples, the adults, even the ones that were very close to Jesus, they were doing wrong. They thought that they were very important people and that they could rule over others in God's kingdom. And then other people should come and look to them and think, "Look on how important we are." That's the game that the adults were playing there. And it was not a good game. So children, let me tell you one thing now. There is one thing that God really likes in you. He looks at you and smiles. You little children, you are humble. That's what Jesus tells us. The adults many times are proud. But Jesus tells us that little children are a model of humbleness for us. And in which way you show that you are humble? You show that you are humble when you are obedient and respect and trust the adults, especially your parents. You understand that you depend upon them for pretty much everything. And you accept that. And that pleases God. So Jesus tells you, little children, good job. You are doing well. You are humble. But for the adults, Jesus, many times, he looks at them and say, well, you are not humble. Need to learn with the little ones. Sorry. And why do you think, little children, why do you think that God likes you to be humble? When does God the Father like something in you? When that reminds God of His own Son. God loves His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God likes when you are obedient, because Jesus, the Son of God, He was obedient to His Father. The Father likes when you are humble, because Jesus, His Son, was humble. And when Jesus was humble, we are thinking about Christmas now. And Jesus was with His Father in heaven, in all majesty and splendor and glory. And I can't even start to describe that. And then one day, the Father came to Jesus and told Him, Son, you need to become a man, a human being. You need to go and live among men. And that's because I love them, and they are lost in their sins. But you are going to save them from their sins. That's what Jesus' name means, that God saves us from our sins. And Jesus, He was obedient to His Father. He came to us and left heaven and became human. And He was born in a manger, as we sang. We see those beautiful representations of Christ's birth in a manger and all those cute animals. Well, the reality is that it was not a beautiful place. The manger is a place where animals eat. It's not very clean. And have you been in a place full of farm animals? Doesn't smell very good. So imagine a king living his palace and all its beauties and then going to a dirty and smelly place. Jesus was very, very humble to do that. And He also lived a very, very simple life, not the life of a king. And then when Jesus was older, He went from city to city in Israel in obedience to His Father. There was a lot of walking. And He went to the people that needed the most. He went to the poor, to the people that had the worst diseases, to the people that were considered very bad. Jesus was obedient in doing His Father's will. All the time. But then the Father asked one last thing from Jesus. My Son, you need to die on a cross for this people. That's the only way to save them. You need to do it. No one else can do that for them. And that was not an easy task for Jesus. They said that the day before He was crucified, in the Bible it says, He said, Father, if be possible, let this cup pass from me. Jesus, He was suffering. He was in great agony. Jesus knew that He was going to suffer a lot on that cross. But in spite of all that suffering, Jesus went to die there in our place. And he that had no sin died in the place of us sinners to save us. Jesus, he had a very humble life and a very humble death. But because Jesus loved his Father, he was obedient to him and trusted his will. And that's why when God sees you being obedient to your parents and trust them, God is really happy with you. You show that you are humble as Jesus was humble, and that you love your parents. And the adults should learn from you. And now let me tell you one thing that's very, very important. In the same manner that you love your parents, God wants you to love him. You obey your parents. You trust them. When you're in trouble, you look for them. The lesson is, if you want to be part of God's kingdom, you need to do the same with God. He needs to be your heavenly Father. You need to love him. You need to obey him. You need to trust him. You need to depend upon him. That's what God expects from you. And as you act with your parents, you need to act with God. You need to be humble before him. Because as you depend upon your parents, you also depend upon God. And to conclude, let me tell you one last thing. God smiles at you when you are humble and obedient. But there is one thing that he looks at you that he doesn't like, because you don't act like Jesus. And that is sin. Sometimes we are disobedient. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we do things that we shouldn't. And we all do that. We sometimes act as bad boys and bad girls. And God knows that. And that makes God unhappy with us. Can you, each of you, be humble now, as you are humble with your parents, and confess that to God? Can you ask God to forgive you for those bad things that you do? Jesus, he came to this world to save you from your sins. He died for your sins. As you trust your parents to give you what is best and most important for you, can you now trust God that he gave his son to die for your sins on the cross? That's what God tells us that you need. You need your sins washed by the blood of Jesus. If you do that, God will forgive you. He'll forgive everything bad that you did. And he will be happy with you and will receive you in his kingdom. That's God's promise for everyone that approaches him with a humble heart as a little child. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, oh God, we are so thankful for giving us the Lord Jesus Christ that came to this world in humbleness and loved us and lived a humble and simple life and died on that cross to pay the price for our sins, O Lord. We give you thanks for that great act of humbleness, of humility. God came in flesh and died for our sins, O Lord. And we pray that we now humbly come before Thee and confess our sins to Thee, O Lord, that we not always have done what is right before Thee, but we sin and make Thee angry, O Lord. So we pray now for Thy forgiveness, O Lord, and thank You so much for the Lord Jesus Christ that died on the cross, O Lord, so that our sins can be washed. And we pray, O Lord, that each and every person receives Him now in his or her heart, O Lord, and that He can be Lord over their lives, O Lord. We pray that if there is anyone in this place that doesn't know Thee, O Lord, that doesn't know how to get saved or is still not sure how's that work, O Lord, we pray that they may come even to one of the pastors or elders here, O Lord, and ask so that they can know Thee and can get saved and can rest assured of Thy salvation, that they can have peace with You. Bless each and every one here, O Lord, be with us. Bless the time of fellowship together, that we may do everything to glorify Thy name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Valenciano, for sharing with us the Word of God tonight. And on behalf of our entire congregation, we want to wish you all every blessing during this Christmas season with your family and friends as you gather. We hope you'll make your way downstairs tonight and enjoy some fellowship afterward. We're going to ask the adults to remain seated and have the teachers take the children downstairs, and then the rest can follow as you feel. Thank you.